Welcome to another inspirational message from Atmosphere Church. For more content like this, visit atmospherechurch.com. In Numbers 13:30. In this moment, what we see is that the Israelites were on their way to the promised land. Let's call this promised land revival, where we know that in revival, there are great things happening. There are healings, there are miracles, there are signs, there are wonders, and the Spirit of God just breaks out. And they were on their way to revival. But look at what happened here. Everyone just started to criticize and be negative. And they were saying, no, we can't go to the promised land because there are giants there. And because there are giants there, we can't mess with them. We're a small army. We're not strong. We're not great. And so in that moment, look at what it says. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. And they said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. And look what it says here. We seemed like what? Grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we looked the same to them. Let me read that. That's the key verse for tonight. I promise I won't be too quick. I feel the Spirit of God still has lots to do. It says, we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we look the same to them. Amen. Today's message is this. It's called, if you want to put a title to it, The Grasshopper Complex. What I really want to talk about tonight, if you give me your attention just for a few minutes, is this. That just like the Israelites, when they were on their way to the promised land, God had promised them a place that flows with milk and honey. God had promised them greatness, that their nation would be blessed, that their descendants would be blessed. And so they had that promise. And on their way to the promised land, it was defended by people that were already there. Between them and the promised land were these people called the Nephilim. Now the Bible says that they were giants, that they were great people of great stature. And I got to tell you this, that a lot of the time when we look at great men, when we look at great things, and notice this, the Bible actually said that they would carry the fruit there. Like that they were huge. The grapes were huge. Everything they carried was big. And so at the sight of that, at looking at the greatness that is in front of them, they said, we can't do it. And notice this, that 12 spies were sent to the promised land just to see if they can conquer it, if they can take over it. And guess what happened? 10 of them said a negative report. They said, they're too great. And only 2 of them said, we can do it. But here's the thing, a lot of the time we all conform to what the majority is saying in life, right? Because 10 people said it, it must be true. It must be that we can't. If 10 people are criticizing, maybe I don't have that calling. Maybe that thing isn't for me. Maybe if 10 people are saying it. But notice this, that the two weird people, Caleb and Joshua, they were different. And so now the majority isn't always right. Did you know that? The anointed is right. The anointing is right. Whoever has the anointing of God, whoever believes God, has the promises of God, I will believe that. And notice this. So 10 of them said, no, they were being negative. We can't conquer. They're too big. They're too great. What was the thing that they said? They said, we look like grasshoppers compared to them. We look like grasshoppers compared to them. And let me tell you this. And I feel like I'm speaking to some people because there are great things happening in this church. And I know that no one can deny this. How many of you guys believe that amazing things are happening in this church? Holy Spirit is visiting us in ways that we never thought, imagined, in crazy ways. I believe that a revival is stirring up in this place. And because of that, I don't think I can stay calm and I'm not going to be quiet about what's going on in this place. I was telling JC that I'm trying to make as much noise as possible. PAOC had called me the other day, and I didn't even tell my dad, but anyways. My bad. But anyways, PAOC called me, which is the authority over us and that represents us in the government, okay? And there's structure and there's like organization. But anyways, they called me and said, hey, we rarely call, you know, and I don't know, we just felt like calling. How are you doing? And in that moment, Holy Spirit is like, speak, go. And I was like, man, right now what's going on in church? Man, the Holy Spirit is breaking out. People's lives are being changed. There are people being healed. The people that we find in the street, they're coming to the church. It is crazy what's going on in the church. And the lady didn't know how to respond. She's like, oh, okay. She's like, yeah, what makes you say it's a revival, that you experience revival? And I started telling her, I just started speaking to her in that moment, and I was just breaking out. And then she was trying to write it down. I could hear, like, over the phone, like, man, she just doesn't know what to write there. She's like, what are you saying? Hey, there's revival breaking out. And I'm trying to make the noise because I believe that something great is happening in here. Yeah, come on. And this greatness needs to be released. It needs to go out. But the issue is this, that in the midst of greatness, in the midst of great moves of God, there's many people that can't help but feel like grasshoppers. That at, when we compare ourselves and we say, whoa, look at how so-and-so is being used by God. Man, that's not me. Or we see that there's signs, miracles, and wonders. People are going out and evangelizing. And then all of a sudden, once they start giving their testimonies, you feel like, whoa. Like you start to dwarf down. And I tell you this, that I have felt like that for a while, even in my own life. I remember that there was a prophecy released over my life. And that prophecy was this, that I would be able to sit down with great men of God. And I took that. I received that. Although my spirit received it, my flesh was terrified. And so when I received that, I began to see that I was being seated with people. When I would go to conferences, we would go to this room to go and eat. And I'd be invited to these places. And I can't help but, like, most people would be like VIP, you know, and they would go and feel so cool. But I would be like, I just want to be with my disciples or someone I know. And it's like, and the thing is that it's just I feel so shy because I compare myself like I'm a grasshopper. And I would look at them and I would say, man, these people of great stature, great ministries, they have all these things. They have radio shows. They have thousands of followers on Instagram. And I'm like, I just feel like a grasshopper in their presence. And I don't even know. And all these doubts start coming inside of me. Like, I don't know how to talk. Man, I'm a person that stutters. I don't know how to follow a conversation. God, I just don't know what to do. But in that moment, I returned to the scripture. And I just felt like God was telling me, for far too long, you've been thinking of yourself like a grasshopper. And the same goes for some of you guys here. No, all of you guys here. That there are those of you who have felt, compared to other leaders, that you feel like grasshoppers. You see great ministers move. You see people preaching. And you start saying, I'm not worthy enough. I'm not great enough. Or you feel inadequate to be moving in the same movement that they are. But I tell you today that God has chosen you to do the same thing. Amen. I just imagine how the disciples felt when they saw Jesus. You know, the disciples would see Jesus walking on water. He would do miracles, signs, and wonders. He would change the water into wine. And the disciples would say, whoa, I'm inadequate, Lord. I'm in shock. I don't know if I'm able to do that. But what did Jesus do? Did he start to build a wall and start saying, nope, like you're separated from me. I'm in a different class. What did Jesus do instead? He went to them, bowed down, started serving them in order for them to be awakened in their heart. And he began to breathe his spirit on them so that they don't feel that there's a distinction, but they feel like, I want to be like Christ. And this is the new move that I feel that we should be moving in this church. It's not that we should be showing off the presence of God as if we're a different class. No, we should be showing the presence of God to get people more addicted to him. When they see you, they better say, wow, I want to be like that. Not like they're a different class, they're somewhere else. No, I want to be like that. I want to move the way that that guy moves. And so I always, whenever I see these great men of God, I always felt like a grasshopper, and I felt inadequate. But I want to tell you this. Why is it that Joshua and Caleb saw something different than the 10 spies? This is interesting, because how can it be that two people can look at the same situation and have a different response to it? How can two people see the same girl, but they see something different in them? Why is it that someone can see the same problem, the same circumstance in their life? It's the same circumstance that I am facing and that someone else is facing. But one of them overcomes and the other one just fails. Why is it? It's because God has placed faith in people and belief in His promises. And here's the difference, that people recognize that it's not about self-confidence, but it's about Christ's confidence. Because let me tell you this, the Bible doesn't say trust in your own abilities. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say trust in what you're able to do and what your capacity is and what your creativity is and what your talents is. No, God says don't trust in yourself. Your heart lies. Don't trust in yourself. Trust in me instead. So it's not self-confidence, but Christ's confidence. Because man, if this was all about me, man, sorry, I quit today. But because it's not about me and it's about Christ, and I know that there are promises that He has placed in my life, and I know that there are prophetic things that He has spoken over many of you guys, I believe God. I don't believe in my own abilities, I believe God. And I want to tell you this. So Joshua and Caleb, what they saw was something different. What they believed is the promises of God. Because earlier than this, God had promised them, I will never leave you and I will be with you. That's the promise that God gave to Joshua and Caleb and the Israelites. And I find that so crazy that these 10 spies were instead looking at their own things. They were saying, we're not great. We're not capable. We're not a trained army. And so how are we going to defeat these people? While Joshua and Caleb were saying, you know what? My God is powerful. My God is greater than that army. Yes, those people are giants, but compared to my God, they are grasshoppers. Now watch this. I really want to emphasize on this. Notice how in the scriptures it says this. It says, we seemed like grasshoppers in whose eyes? In our own eyes. Notice, Satan didn't call them grasshoppers. The enemy didn't call them grasshoppers. God didn't call them grasshoppers. They called themselves grasshoppers. Yeah, and I wonder how many things you are declaring over your life that no one else has said about you. You're calling yourself weak when no one has called you weak. But you are doing this. These self-esteem issues that you are declaring over your life. I'm a nobody. I'm not worthy. No one will ever like me. If you are saying, I am a grasshopper, look at what it says. It says, we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and so we seem the same in theirs. In modern terms, you know what that means? That means, what I say I am, that's how they will see me. In other words, what I believe about myself is what I will project. And if you project that you are a person who has no capacity, who has no creativity, then that's what you're going to project. You know, one important thing when people are listening to, when you're in a presentation, you are speaking, the main thing that people can perceive is your confidence and your passion. They can literally detect when you're not passionate about what you're talking about. And they can detect when you have no confidence in what you're talking about. And so in that moment, because what I believe in myself, that's what I will project. So let me ask you, what have you been projecting in your life? What have you been projecting when you have been in those interviews of the jobs that you wanted? What are you projecting? And I feel that God is trying to heal our hearts and our minds. And He's trying to change us to be able to see ourselves the way that He sees us. What I really want us to get tonight is this, that I want to be a reflection of not what the world says about me, not what Satan says about me, but I want to be a reflection of what God says about me. That's what's important. Now, I want you to get this. Okay? A lot of us don't do anything in the move of God, or when there's a powerful season happening, some of us don't do anything in that season because of a concept that has literally affected and deteriorated my life many times. And that is called false humility. False humility has kept me in the state of grasshopper. It hasn't allowed me to break out and break free. When God says something about you, you better believe it. But a lot of us, we have this false humility. We say, no. God has not called me to be on stage. God has not called me. Or we feel like we're doing the will of God by holding back. Let me tell you this. Or you feel fearful and you're saying, no, you know what? I don't think that I'm worthy enough to be able to do that. And I'm going to serve the Lord by just standing aside and letting someone else serve. I want to tell you that that is a demonic concept that has kept so many people stagnant in their life. Because you have not been called to be just an average person. And you have not been called to be on the sidelines. Let me confess some word over your life. You have not been called to be a bench warmer. You have been called to be the light of this world. Amen. The light and salt of this world. And let me tell you something about salt. It's not that salt alone is flavorful. Did you know that when you add salt to something else, it gives that thing flavor? Yeah. When you add salt over something, it gives it flavor. And so what God is saying is this: I don't just want you to be flavorful, but those that you are near to, for you to give them flavor. That is that in your workplace, if it was boring, that you're going to be next to them and you're going to give them flavor. Those who were dead in the spirit, who didn't react or didn't respond to God, well, you stand near to them and that's going to affect them. Why? Because I'm salt of this world and I'm going to infect them with my passion. God has called you to be the light of this world. And guess what happens? You know, where is the light? Is it where I am right now? Step into the light. That's what God is saying. Step into the light because I've called you to be light. And where you go, if you go in darkness, I want you to be light there. Many of us go into darkness and remain darkness because of that false humility. We go into darkness and we stay, man, I'm just too shy. I don't think that God has called me. I don't know. I'm better off just not, you know, serving the Lord. I'm just going to stand on the sidelines. Let me tell you that's not a biblical thing. God wants to use you. He wants you to step into the light. The only one who moves in the darkness is the enemy. Step into the light. Amen. Amen. How many of you guys are receiving this so far? Okay. So don't remain in the sidelines. God wants to use you tonight. Touch the person next to you and just say, God wants to use you. Yeah. And believe it. God wants to use you. Even if you don't believe it yourself, God wants to use you. And we're going to see in this season that God's going to use the people that we never thought would be used. Amen. So watch this. I believe that King David, when he was in front of Goliath, if you read in the scriptures, when he was in front of Goliath, I can just imagine the things that was going through his mind. And one thing that he realized is the facts. The fact is that this Goliath is bigger than me. He is greater than me. And the Bible says that Goliath had a weapon assigned to kill David. But let me tell you this. This weapon was forged and made as an assignment to destroy David's life. But a lot of us shy away because we're afraid of the enemy. But the key thing that I want to tell you this is that David defeated the giant when he confessed that that weapon was going to be used against Goliath. Do you know what that means? God is saying that the weapons that the enemy has made an assignment, assigned to destroy your life, God is saying those same weapons, I'm going to throw it back at the enemy. Come on. Guess what? Goliath was saying, I'm going to cut off your head. I'm going to feed you to the birds, and I'm going to destroy your life. And King David was saying, nope, that's not the plan, because my Bible says something different. My God says something different, that every weapon forged against me will not prevail. Instead, I will use that weapon to cut off the head of the enemy. Yeah, if you want more proof, remember, Satan thought that the weapon that would defeat Jesus would be the cross. But guess what? The cross was the very thing that defeated the enemy. Whew. Yeah. The enemy thinks that he can destroy you through social media, through the internet. But guess what? We're going to turn it back around against the enemy. Whew. Many people were destroyed with the internet, but this generation will prove through the internet that God is supernatural, that he's still alive today. Come on. Yeah. So God is giving us the weapons, the very things assigned to destroy us, and we're going to throw it back. Yeah, that breakup that the enemy thought was going to destroy you, God is using that very situation to defeat the enemy, to take you to a different level. That very job that you lost, that thing that the Satan said that he can destroy your life, well, you're going to throw it back and say, no, God is taking me to a new level, into a new place. Come on. God is using the weapon that the enemy has assigned for your life. Satan is helping himself defeat himself. If that makes sense, that's weird. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Satan, and this is something I wanna get to. Jesus, when he was in the desert, and I just imagine his life, and I'm almost done. I want you to really focus on this. Jesus, when he was in the desert, I imagine that many things were going through his mind. Remember, God had called Jesus, and he said, I'm well pleased of my son. And what were the things that he would say of him? This is the Messiah. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. I imagine that when he would spend moments with God, I imagine the Father was just speaking to him, saying, you are going to do greatness, Jesus. You are going to redeem humanity. You're meant for the supernatural. You're going to deliver people. You're going to heal the sick. And I feel that the Father was pumping up his son, and he was saying all these glorious things to his son. But guess what? When he went into the desert, I just imagine Satan trying to destroy his identity, trying to destroy his image, while God was saying, you're the Messiah, you're my son, I love you so much, and you are powerful, you are the king of all this world. Satan was there saying, no, you're not. Jesus, you're just the son of a carpenter. Jesus, people reject you. You call yourself the king of this world, people don't like you. You call yourself holy, the Messiah, people call you glutton and a drunk. And I imagine Satan just saying all these things and just throwing it back at Jesus' life. You're not going to do greatness. You're a poor person. You're never going to amount to anything. But guess what Jesus said? Jesus said, it is written in the Word of God. You know what that is? That is that every time that the enemy, I feel that in my spirit, I have an assignment today to remove the accusing finger of Satan out of your life. Because what Jesus in that moment, what he said is this, it is written in God's word. That is, every time Satan says something about you, you say, it is written in the word of God, something else about me. While you are calling me unholy, the Bible calls me holy. Come on. And this is precious, because what God is saying to you today is this. I want you to step into the superior truth. I want you to step into the superior truth. I want to explain this to you. There is a difference between facts and truth. Did you know that? There's a difference between facts and truth. Not all facts lead to truth. For example, when you go to a doctor, have you ever heard of people being misdiagnosed? Yeah, people being misdiagnosed. And the thing is this, that all the facts told them that it was a certain sickness. All the facts told them, but it misled them to a false, to something false, sorry. And in that moment, we can say, even in a person that's being convicted of a crime, even if they're innocent, if all the facts lead that they are guilty, even if they are innocent, see, the facts lie, and it doesn't always lead to a truth. Are you understanding me? Yeah, are you following me? So not always do facts lead to truth. And let me tell you this, that there's so many people just looking at the facts of their life rather than looking at the truth of God's word. Yeah, maybe it's a fact that you are broke right now. Maybe it's a fact that you are alone. Maybe it's a fact that you don't have anything in your life. Maybe it's a fact that you're not creative, but God's word says something different about you. And I need to align myself to the superior truth. Come on, when Satan is accusing you and telling you the facts, throw at him the truth. Throw back the truth of God in his face. And I tell you this, this was something that I struggled with in my life. Like I said, I felt like a grasshopper many times in my life. And it was because of this very thing, the accusing finger of Satan. There were days, and I tell you that, the facts, if you are led by facts instead of by faith, you're going to live a life that is stagnant and broken in false humility. I just remember that there were times where, you know, when I graduated from school, you know, I was excited. I was like, God, I know that you're going to give me a prosperous job. I know that you're going to lead me right away to all of these things. Why? Because I've been preaching about it, God. I've been speaking it. I've been prophesying it. And I just know, I believe it. And the thing is this, that's the moment where Satan's accusing finger started to step in. Because I didn't get the job right away. And I was broke. Man, but I graduated and man, I was in debt. I was broke. And I just remember that I would come up here and this was a while back. I would come up here in front of you guys and I'll be like, God is a God that prospers. God is a God that lifts people up. God is a God that takes people to the next level. And then the next morning I would go to my either that the factory job I had or the cleaning job. And I just feel that Satan was accusing me, saying, yeah, that very thing you were speaking, really? God prospers. And I'm there with a squeegee in my hand. You know, this was Satan accusing me, just saying, yeah, God prospers. Yeah. Really? And those times that I'm sick and I'm preaching that God heals, and Satan just accuses you and just says, yeah, is that really true? Or I say that God delivers people, that God, that we all should be sinless. And I was struggling with things in my own life. And Satan was accusing, saying, get off the stage. You're not worthy. Who are you? And in that very moment, I just felt like God was saying, are you going to believe the facts or are you going to believe the truth? And before you know it, your life, your reality will catch up and align itself to God's truth. And I feel that God is doing that to many of you today. Some of us, we're so afraid like grasshoppers, but I'm not like that. How can I preach about that God lifts people up? How can I preach that God does financial miracles? But what about in my own life? Still continue to profess the truth of God, and you will see it come to reality. You will see that God will do it. There are people who say, how can I preach that God is supernatural when I've never moved in it? We'll continue to profess that truth. Continue to speak it and you will step into that reality. And sooner or later, I saw how God was aligning my life to the truth that God was saying about me. So who are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to that Satan pointing his accusing fingers over your life? You're not righteous. You're not ready. You're not worthy. You're not great enough. Or are you going to believe what God is saying, what Abba is saying? Joshua and Caleb were made of a different species. They were made of an anointing. They were separated by God. They didn't think the way that other people thought. They weren't people led by emotion or feelings or led by facts. They were people led by the faith of God. Rather than trust in whatever the world is saying about me, rather than trust what my own parents are saying about me, I'm going to trust what God spoke. And God said, the promised land is mine. Let me tell you, God says revival is yours. Those gifts are yours. That business is yours. Yeah, when you graduate, I believe in the name of Jesus that OSAP will disappear. Amen. You will be able to pay off that OSAP. I believe it with all my heart. Why? Because I've seen it even in my own life. Maybe it's not the facts right now, but sooner or later, you will catch up to that truth. People don't need someone telling them the facts. You don't need a preacher telling you the facts. Oh, you guys are sinners. You guys are this. You guys are that. No, no, that's not a fact. Not me, Pastor. No, that's not. As a matter of fact, that isn't a fact. You know? Yeah. Yeah, you don't need a preacher to tell you the facts. You need someone to tell you what the truth of God's word says about you. You are not a grasshopper. You are not a nobody. You're not meant to just be average and common like the 10, the majority. No, you are meant to be like Joshua and Caleb, different, holy, separated. Amen? So the next time that you feel like that, that you're just saying, God, I don't feel like I can be used by you. Or I know Pastor's saying that right now. He's calling people to serve. But I don't feel like I'm ready yet. You know what? You're never going to feel ready. You're never going to feel ready. But I just believe that we just have to step into God's truth. God says that you can. You know, Jesus said one thing. I want to reveal one title to you of the Holy Spirit. One title that Jesus revealed about the Spirit is that he is called the Spirit of Truth. And Jesus said before he died and before he left, he said, I am sending you the Spirit of Truth, and believe the Spirit because he will guide you to all that is true. If you have been struggling to accept the truth in your life, if you've been struggling to accept what is God's plan for your life, I pray that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, comes into you and leads you into the truth. That is, he's going to mold your life to step into your true self, what God says about you.